jump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, November 8th in the future. We're actually recording this on November 1st. So, y'all know what happened.
Right now, we're living in the Pandora's box. I meant Schrodinger. Cat situation where... Anything's possible, but when you're listening to this, maybe we'll have it. I mean, last election, it was drawn out for 3 fucking days. So, I mean, who knows if it gets called that night, but, you know, we'll probably have a pretty good idea
when you're
listening to this, what the state of our country is.
Yeah. I hope that as you listen, it's a Freaky Friday, only freaky because of the stories you'll hear today.
Yes.
Not because things went bad and topsy-turvy, but
not because we're being run by a fascist.
Yeah, no worries. Surely we didn't go back a million years, so we'll be all right. But that is not what we're here to talk about today, folks. We're here to talk about your odd but true stories. And as always, you all have come through with near misses, all kinds of stuff. Honestly, what a lineup.
It is. This is a good one. These are all, I mean, they're always all good ones.
Yeah, but you guys
got
agree.
An update that we're all going to be interested in. And several other really freaky ones that play off of other ones that have come in before, too. So
yeah.
I say, let's just jump in.
Let's rock and roll.
I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Well, I don't know if this is the first, Heather, but do you also have a son named Anonymous?
Yes,
did
my
you do
sweet
a
child.
Did you you okay? So you named both of your children Anonymous?
I know, it's throwing all of my children, my sons, my daughters, my children, my non-binary children. All of them have the same name. I know. I'm not too creative when it comes to naming them.
Well, it's easy when you're trying to get a hold of one of them.
Exactly.
Anonymous, and then they all come running.
And when I see famous quotes by them, I'm always so proud. And I'm like, how profound.
Yeah, what a wonderful quote. They have a lot of famous quotes.
Yeah.
They do. Which I'm always like, take credit for it.
Yeah,
this is a great quote. Don't like hide your name. Well, for this first one, it is Anonymous, using he, him pronouns. And the subject line is, my first half MLB game. Trigger warning, gun violence, and potential mass shooting is discussed. Hello. First off, I love your show. It's made Wednesdays one of the best days of the week for me. I always wake up and immediately see what the next topic is. You're both incredible and wonderful people. Okay, before we start, it's important to acknowledge that I was never in any actual danger. This is in no way to take anything away from actual victims of gun violence, merely to share what was a scary, unknown experience. Back in 2021, the pandemic was starting to ease up a little bit. Some friends and I were wanting to do something to be active again, so someone suggested going to a baseball game. I've gone to a lot of baseball games growing up, but never an actual MLB game. So I was very excited. We went to a Washington Nationals game in July, and we were having a great time. However, in the 6th inning, I look up and see the players running off the field. Then we see a bunch of people behind home plate all begin to run back into the stadium. At this point, no one knows what is going on. Every 30 to 60 seconds, we see another section of the stadium begin to flee, all while we're too confused to do anything. Even some fans are going into the dugouts for protection. One of my friends mentions they heard some loud bangs, but thought it was people in the outfield banging on the walls. Somehow, I fully missed those noises. After about 5 minutes, we look down at the field, and a security guard is motioning for us to get down. So, we hunker down between the seats. It's also important to know that this entire time, the announcer has not said much at all. Every now and then, he'll come on and tell us to remain calm and to not leave the stadium, but nothing about what's going on. were literally hunched on the ground on Twitter trying to see if anyone knows anything. We must have been down there for at least another 5 minutes when the announcer finally came on and said there had been an incident outside of the stadium and the police were on the scene. The game is being postponed to resume the next day and to please leave through specific gates. Turns out there was a drive-by shooting right outside. As far as I can tell, 3 people were injured, but no fatalities, thankfully. The odd thing is, I noticed that the gate it happened at was literally the one directly behind us. I have no idea how I never heard the bangs, especially since you can clearly hear them on broadcast and fan videos. It's very helpful to tell myself that I was never really in any danger, but that doesn't take away the fear in the moment. These kind of events happen so frequently nowadays that it felt extremely real in the moment. To end on a happier note, I'm going to another MLB game at the same stadium later this month. I've been telling myself that I'm going to my first full MLB game, and I'm excited to make a happy memory there.
Yes, I hope that it is uneventful and your team wins, and that's about it. Maybe you win the dot race or something, but being told like...
Or a fly ball. Catch a home run, but that's all the excitement you need at a game.
Eat a big-ass hot dog, but you don't ever want to see the players on the field running.
This is one of my worst nightmares, and it is so frequent. I mean, there was just recently a mass shooting in Orlando yesterday. So it does happen so often in the United States that I think most people I know are like, well, at some point, I'm probably going to be somewhere where something happened. Even if like you're like, well, luckily there wasn't an actual shooter at the stadium, but everyone was like, it's happening. It's finally our time to experience this because it happens so fucking often. And then you're like, just get down and crouch behind your seats. Well, you're just open and a sitting duck with no announcements. I mean, I get like you don't want people to panic, but when you see people diving into the dugouts because they hear gunshots, people are already panicking. The announcer's got to come on and be like, here's what's going on. No one's in the stadium. Don't flip out.
Yeah, please remain calm. No, you're right, especially if you're in the stands and you see fans running into the dugout, where normally if you jump down onto the field and run in the dugout, you're getting tackled. Mm-hmm. So the fact that fans are able to do that, you're like, there's something way beyond just like a fight in one of the sections, which who amongst us hasn't been a sporting event? People are yelling, whatever. But yeah, when you in the United States, when you hear bang, 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 it is not unreasonable to go hit the deck. Or run, try to get out of there. And to the point that when I'm in large crowded situations, I used to be like, oh God, I'm very nervous. And now I'm literally just like, okay, let's look for 3 exits, find a couple, because it is necessary.
Yeah, same. I also pretty much anywhere now look for emergency exits or, you know, you kind of have your head on a swivel with a lot of things, especially large events like a sporting event or a concert, stuff like that. It's just kind of part of our landscape now, sadly.
Yeah. A way of life. Yeah. It's it's like, you know, you hear kids go like, we have to carry clear backpacks to school or whatever. It's like, yeah, in my day we didn't. So it's the same with like concerts and going to NFL games and things like that. Any stadium that has an NFL bag policy and stuff, it's got to be that clear bag. So it is, I think, important that we look as we get older and have lived in various eras, be like, you know, in my day, you become that person, right? But then also, I think that gives the younger generation some insight into what life is like and what it can be like, you know?
Yeah. I don't even remember going to MLB games as a kid if there were metal detectors. Surely there were. Surely there were.
Right. It depends on when. Yeah, when they installed them all.
Yeah. Certainly no one had clear backpacks. We didn't have metal detectors at school, anything like that. But it is a different time now. Well, Anonymous, so glad that it wasn't the worst case scenario. And I mean, it's still a drive-by shooting is terrifying. And we're glad that no fatalities, but still the trauma of even thinking that you're a victim of a mass shooting and experiencing that fear, like maybe no one was actually in there, but the fear was real. And that's what sticks with you and is traumatizing.
Yeah, just refreshing Twitter, like going, oh, God, please, like, tell me what's going on. You know, let me know it's a car backfired or, you know, God forbid, like, there was some sort of, like, industrial, you know, nobody's injured, but it's like an explosion, a gas main or something just burst and made a crazy noise. But that, to hear those gunshots, we know what those are. So I hope you have a nice, and the only loud bangs are the fireworks at the end of the game, as they should be.
Go Nationals.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one is from Shanna Banana, and the subject line is How I Avoided a Hotel Attack, Part 2. Shanna Banana writes, I listen to Freaky Friday every week while I'm cleaning, but this week I didn't clean on Friday, I cleaned on Monday, which is not the usual for me. One story that stuck out to me was how I avoided a hotel attack. It stuck with me because I was traveling that day from Dallas to Austin for a work training. I got on the road a bit late because my kids were melting down about me leaving. I arrived at the hotel and parked at the main entrance and checked in and got my key. I noticed a lot of men at the restaurant and bar, but nothing out of the ordinary. The staff said there aren't any rooms on the first floor. Rooms start at the second floor and go up to the sixth. The hotel has a parking garage, and at each level, there is access to the rooms. I got there a bit late and wasn't paying much attention and parked at level 2. I was staying on the third floor, so after parking and then grabbing my bags, I went to the elevator. The elevator door opened, and two men were inside. Initially, they were standing kind of close to each other, but they separated, and I was in between them. I scooted my way to the back, kind of behind them. One asked what floor I was on so he could push the button. Not thinking about the episode I listened to earlier, I said, 3, please. And then I noticed none of the other buttons were pushed for any other floors. I asked, what floor are y'all on? The one who asked me said, 5. They looked down the entire time and never spoke again. I started heading towards my room, which was a bit of a walk. I got close to my room and had to move over to the wall, as a housekeeper was coming toward me with a huge cart. She could barely push it. She was struggling and had to stop and rest a couple times. I thought it was kind of strange because I had never seen a large cart in a hotel. I got to my room at 10:45 p.m. I know this because I texted my mom letting her know I was in my room. About 10 minutes after arriving, I was sitting on the bed eating and heard a very quiet knock at the door. It was so quiet, I thought someone was knocking on the door next to mine. They knocked again, and then my door opened. I stood up and froze. I didn't have anything to protect myself. I couldn't see the door from my bed because there was a wall blocking the view. As soon as I heard the door shut, I peeked around and no one was there, so I ran to look out the peephole, but didn't see anyone. They weren't able to open the door all the way because I latched the top lock. It's the kind you flip over. It's really hard to explain, but according to the internet, they're called door security guards. I then opened the door and heard a noise coming from the right side down the hall. I yelled, "Hello?" I yelled maybe 3 times and no response. I went back inside my room and grabbed my keycard and glasses because I'm basically blind. I ran toward the right, toward the sound I heard, and it was just a couple of rooms and a door to the stairs. I started running to the left, and no one. I ran out to the courtyard, and no one was there. They must have taken the stairs or ducked into another room. I went back to my room and called the front desk and told them what happened. I asked if it could have been the housekeeper I saw. They said they would ask her and call me back. I got a call back and was told it wasn't her. She was on another floor. They said the only other person it could have been left at 11 when their shift was over. Before going to bed, I looked up ways to secure hotel doors with towels, hangers, and ironing board, etc. I maybe slept an hour that night. The next day, I called and spoke to the manager, who changed my room and said he would audit my lock to see who used a key to the other room. But that day after work, I also bought an extra lock for the door and some mace. Today, I heard from the manager, who said the person who opened my door was not a staff person, and he doesn't know who it was. He said it showed that only my key was used. Also, I find it a little odd now that at check-in, I was only given 1 key. But after I changed rooms, I was given 2. I think 2 is the typical number of keys you usually get at check-in. I think I will never know who opened my door and what their intentions were, but it is a memory forever etched in my brain. It was one of the most scariest moments of my life. Listening to the podcast that day, I thought, oh, that'll never happen to me. That happens to other people, probably young, pretty women. I did some internet searching and found this particular brand of hotels has had issues with men accessing women's rooms, especially in Texas, and many happening in Austin. So you could say this is my testimony that yes, it does happen. Even if you don't think it will, live your life like it will. Always be on guard. Listen to your gut, because I didn't. As soon as the elevator doors opened and I saw those men, a voice said, don't get on. But I was tired and again thinking nothing will happen to me. And honestly, there are times when I've traveled that I don't lock the extra locks on the hotel door. I've always thought just the door being shut was good enough because it automatically locks. But that night, before I went to the bed to eat, I came out of the bathroom. I was about to shower, but told myself I would after I ate. I went to the hotel door and just stood there. A voice in my head said, use the latch. I shrugged my shoulders and latched it. Just a few minutes later is when they opened my door. Y'all would have seen me on Dateline, I bet. But I'm glad to be here and able to spread some more awareness on how important it is to stay safe while traveling. I love y'all so much. I was planning on coming to the live show in Dallas this month for my 40th birthday, but I was in Austin for another training. Boo. Hopefully next year.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Shanna Banana. I know exactly the lock you're talking about. Yeah, it's like a little metal rectangle thing that you flip up at the top. So if someone were to be able to open the door, it's going to stop them. I think if you kicked hard enough, it'd probably break that down too.
Or shouldered it. Yeah. And so, there's some folks that have shown online too using like rubber bands and a credit card. I'm not a MacGyver, but I'm always like, I can't pick a lock. Yeah, but criminals can. It's like, I can't open a hotel safety latch, but those who really want to can. And it is a matter of, it was the Ellen Greenberg case actually that we looked up how some of those safety latches, because it was similar to the latch that was affixed in her case. And the argument was like, well, if the latch is fixed, then that means no one came in. But it is possible using a rubber band to pull those out. So you can get on top. This is the cost of being a woman, or just the cost of traveling, I guess, is that you can buy these extra locks that sort of jam in the handle as well as on the inside jam as if they're door stoppers, you know, reverse door stoppers. But yeah, good God.
When we started touring, I have one that stays in my suitcase. It's just for hotels because this is terrifying. I've put like glasses on the door, you know, and trash metal garbage in front of it. Something to make noise. And when you're all alone, that's super scary. It's weird to me that in knowing now that you know this hotel chain has a history of this and there were a ton of men there and you only got one key and that key was also like
that's the key that was used.
You saying people aren't paying each other to do shady shit. And it's like, you know, somebody that's working there is in on it and they see a lone female traveler come in and, you know, it's a, that's where my brain goes. It might be a reach, but also it could be very possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think it's a reach at all. If it was your issued key that they're saying based on the lock audit that your key was what was used to open it, then that means there was a second one out there and who got it and why. Was it the front desk person gave it, sold it, dropped it? Regardless, that's on them. And I would say, because you said, you know, I'll never know who came in my room. I would argue you have a right to the security footage of what happened. And I would ask them, and if they give you a little pushback, I would say, I'm putting you on notification for preservation of evidence in anticipation of litigation, which usually makes people's asses tighten up pretty good. Because you may want to sue them. You may not. For sure. I don't know. You're still deciding. You haven't decided what has happened to you. What are your rights? But you're anticipating possibly. So it may be that, you know, if you go to the Dallas County Bar Association, you can look up like the attorney referral line. And for like $20, you can talk to an attorney for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That might be something. If you really want that footage, I would. I mean, I'd want to know.
It's not even nosy. It's like, if this was like one of those men that you saw in the elevator, like, okay, well, now maybe there's a case, you know? Yeah, and, like, you have evidence that, like,
it's a known hazard.
How'd they get the key?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I was only given one. Where did the other one go?
Yeah, and to the extent of, like, what are my damages, that's something that the attorney you talk to can help. But I would say if you said on your internet searching that that particular brand of hotels, the question would be, you know, the location, should that management have been on notice? Which I would say, yeah, if you get it, you know, all XYZ brand hotels are having this infiltration of men coming in women's rooms, then you say, okay, we're going to implement this new protocol. And they have an obligation to do that. Normally hotels don't have liability for third party criminal acts unless it was a foreseeable criminal act. So if you're telling me this is a thing that happens around Austin, a hotel in Austin, you should have foreseen this and done something to protect folks like Shana Banana. And so in that sense, I say you're entitled to that tape. Sure. And if they're dicks about it, then, you know, call you an attorney from the bar line or whatever, or ask ChatGPT, I don't know, you know, just to get you a letter going of like, I want you to preserve this evidence and provide it to me. And especially, and if they're being really ornery about it, you want to get a cop. Or not a cop. You don't want to get a lawyer. Call the news. News loves stuff like this.
For sure.
Especially local Austin news. Yeah.
Right. If you're able to Google and find out that this is going on with these hotels, like, then the hotel, absolutely. If the public knows, the hotel has already known. So if they're not doing anything about it, then get the media involved. They love a juicy story like that.
For sure. And you deserve to know who, that's a scary, right? Who did this? And absolutely. It may be that it is, you know, an employee is secretly just like sleeping in some of the rooms, you know, and that sucks. And they accidentally, but that is a very horrific accident that you're giving two people the keys to the same room.
Oh, like, that's real. Do you remember when it happened to us?
And it was because an employee was secretly sleeping in the rooms.
I don't know if it was an employee. I think they just gave us the wrong key and we opened it and it was clearly a hotel that was being occupied. The TV was on, there was stuff everywhere. And I just like, shut the door, and then we went back down. They're like, oh my gosh, we meant to give you room 400. And it's like, well, I'm glad that we weren't, you know, evil people.
Yeah, evil doers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or just walk in, even if there's no person there, go, I'm going to look around and see if you got an iPad, a laptop. What can I steal in here? You know? No, I hear you. So hopefully it is it was an oopsie, but it doesn't sound like it if they only gave you one key and clearly they made two. That's something I would press for. Anyway, I'm not your lawyer, but you might holler at, like I said, the Dallas Bar Association's like referral and see if you can get you somebody that might be, you know, willing to do a consult for a half hour for $20 and you pick their brain and maybe they can help you write a letter or something.
Yeah. A lot of times if somebody gets a letter on legal head paper, then they're more inclined to cooperate because they don't want it to go much further than that.
There is something about the letterhead with the signature of like, nobody be putting Esquire, but if you do, it makes people
or just,
nervous.
You know, like the whole, like McKinney, Wallace, and Brown at the top. That's the name of our...
it is, indeed.
our office.
They're like, do you want it to be McKinney, Wallace, Brown, and Brown? And we're like, you could put a little two at the top of Brown.
Brown squared.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Man. Well, I'm very glad, Shana Banana, that no one was able to get in your room, but still that fear, that sticks with you. And like, clearly, it changed your whole... time there, you went and did exactly what you should have done. Also, how brave
this woman
who
run
out and be like, "Who the fuck did this?" Yeah, I mean,
I might do that too. Yeah, so not everyone should, but
in the moment, you're like, "What is fight. Like?" You're just like almost just running on adrenaline. You're like, "Surely that couldn't have been. That had to have just been an accident or something." But it's weird that you wouldn't have seen him. Mm-hmm. If it had been an accident or something, you know, like, why wasn't somebody walking around?
Which makes you wonder, do they have keys to other rooms that they then duck into to hide in or just ran down the stairs?
God.
Yeah.
I hope that the hotel industry isn't this sinister, but I've been finding out a lot of stuff lately that just makes me realize how naive I am about certain things.
I think the whole world is.
This might be one of them.
Sinister, yeah, right. Well, let us know how it works out. Give us an update if you do end up getting that footage and going after him.
Yes.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one is an update, and it was originally on Dear Sinister on our Patreon.
Yes, it initially Margot wrote to us in January, and we asked for an update because we love an update. She updated us in March and in June. So we'll make sure all three of those are linked in the episode description of this episode if you want to go get the start of the story. But we have a new Margot update.
Yeah, because the story is bananas.
Yes.
And garnered a ton of comments and just like incredulity on Patreon at like how someone would do this. Well, here's the latest update. The subject line is update on hottie manager husband stalker. Hello, Heather and Christy. It's Margo with an update. Even if you don't read this on the show, I had to tell you since I told all my other besties. Quick recap. One of my husband's employees, Carl, has a wife that keeps trying to contact my husband and get him alone to discuss Carl. A full year, almost to the day, since she got our address and sent my husband a 5-page letter after he blocked her text and told her husband, this bitch sends me a message on Facebook Messenger and then unsends it. To me, it felt a little intimidating, like she was trying to tell me she was still around or something. So I decided to message her. What? Do you have something you need to say to me? The next day, she sent a long message apologizing for anything that was, quote, misconstrued, and that she was truly just trying to get my husband to get her husband to stop working from home and go back to the office. As if my husband would or could make Carl come back to the office because his wife wants him to. And then she went on to give me a sob story about their unhappy marriage and her health problems. But again, if I, quote, misconstrued her intentions, she was sorry. I replied with, heard. Now don't ever speak to me or anyone in my family ever again. She then responded one more time and said, I was just apologizing and I don't want to talk to you anyway. Then she blocked me. Mind you, this has been going on for about 18 months now, so I wasn't about to give her any reason to believe that I thought any of this nonsense was okay. Hopefully, like I've said before, this is the end of it. Sorry, but it pisses me off. Thanks for reading, Margot.
Well, yeah, I think if you...
The audacity of this bitch.
The audacity. And I love you, Margot. I'm so sorry that you said, like I've said before, I hope this is the end of it. Because right? You said that at the end of every single update. Well, she gave a good recap that, Carl's wife was reaching out to Margot's husband inappropriately outside of work. And especially after blocking on text and Facebook, she sent a 5-page handwritten letter.
To their house.
To their home address.
So they knew that she found their address.
Yes.
Yeah. And also would come up to the office
yes.
and give him cookies and various
stand around
things,
him. Mm-hmm.
Very inappropriate stuff. Mm-hmm. And then talked about her unhappy marriage. Like, nobody's misconstruing anything.
You're fishing, sister. We know
we're
it.
We're not idiots here. Margo's wasn't born yesterday. Her husband's hot. Carl isn't.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get with Margot's hot husband.
Mm-hmm. We know it. I mean, it's the actions speak for themselves.
Yes.
And I think you're right, Margot. The sending the message and then unsending it was definitely a way for her, I feel like, to lure you into responding.
Mm-hmm.
And also later, she could tell her friends, like, she messaged me. And
right?
It's like, no.
Screenshot that bitch. You can see it said unsent message. We're not idiots. Yeah.
Screenshot it.
That would, oh, man. That pisses me off so much because it's so passive aggressive and it is like this bait. Like, you want to dance? You're going to take the bait on this one?
You wanna dance?
Much like Margot, I'd be like, what do you want? Do you have something you want to say to me? Like, just call it out, you know?
Uh-huh.
Stop pussyfooting around it because it's
just
gone way beyond that. Yes. And I can't remember if in the original ones they had alerted the police, but I feel like maybe they had. If not, I'd say do it because
we're getting to a point.
Yeah, it's been at that point for a while. 18 months of having to deal with this.
Yeah.
A nightmare.
And just build, you have to, that's the, we talked about in the Peggy Klinke case, like you have to build a case when you're being stalked. And hearing this, if you have not heard the Dear Sinisters, you know, you might hear this and go, oh, well, you know, it's just a Facebook message. But truly, I would urge you, you know, it is a saga. And when you're on the receiving end, you know, we said, and I think the original write-in, like, you don't want to diminish it because it's a man being pursued by a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just a serious, anybody being pursued by anybody against their will when they have said repeatedly, this is inappropriate, please stop. And then to also start reaching out to their family members. Like, I think you, like Christy said, you got to like address it head on. My dad used to always quote, what's his name? Barney Fife, like nip it in the bud. Nip it. You got to nip it. Nip
Why it in the I, bud. For 2 seconds, I was like, the dinosaur?
That one. He's a sheriff's deputy dinosaur, but he's like, nip it in the bud.
Nip it in the bud. No, I agree. What is especially creepy to me is that she's still thinking about it.
That's what I hate. I'm just like, when you're being stalked and you haven't heard from a person, mm-hmm. it's like when I got an email from the guy that stalked me a full year. It's mm-hmm. something about like that. I think it's they start looking at the last time or they mark yeah. it on a calendar. I don't know what it is. But your stomach, like you said, your stomach fucking drops because you're like, I thought this was over.
We nipped this in the bud.
The bud was nipped.
Yeah. And now I'm being lured back into this, which yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll call your bluff. What do you fucking want? Leave me alone. Next thing I'm doing is going and filing a restraining order against you because it's creepy to think like Carl isn't even like at the office with Mm-mm. Margot's husband. And this woman is still like,
finding obsessing
over it. Yeah, she doesn't even work there. Just her husband works there.
Yeah.
And also, Carl knows about it because
mm-hmm. Margo's
husband had a whole conversation with him about it. So it's, I don't know. I don't want to say find a new job. But
yeah, right.
I mean, because he shouldn't have to. You should not be the yeah. one that's put out. And like, do you fire Carl? Well, that's right. not necessarily fair either because he's not doing anything. Or maybe, as far as we know, but it's a all around just gross situation. And I'm so sorry, Margo, that it got dragged back out again and that you're having to relive all of this. That's mm-hmm. what stalking does. It does make you feel like,
yeah,
okay, well, maybe it's over now. And then somebody can just come swooping back in and you're right back to the very beginning again.
No, for sure. It's like Michael Myers in the horror movie. You know, you yeah. shoot at it and you think, oh, it's finally done. You know, oh, mm-hmm. nope. And it's back up and it's coming after me again. Yeah. So I think, you know, strong language like you used of like, don't ever speak to me or anyone in my family ever again. Those are vital statements that you make because unfortunately, not always, but sometimes law enforcement say, well, you were responding to her on mm-hmm. Messenger. You were obviously having a conversation. And so something like that would say, you're like, she was a stalker. I wanted to know what mindset she was in. I could see it was not changed. Therefore, I ended the conversation and mm-hmm. we are blocked or whatever. So it sucks because a lot of times, as we saw with the Peggy Klinke case and others, you know, the perpetrator often tries to paint themselves as the victim and go, oh, yeah. she's coming after me. So stuff like that where it's unequivocal language, I think is helpful, but it sucks. You shouldn't have to do that. She should leave you alone.
Yeah, and just the... I'm sorry if you misconstrued. First of all, that's not an apology. So don't start mm-hmm. it with, I'm sorry. That's placing the blame on her. Like, it's your fault that you didn't understand what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, we all know what you said. Like, everyone knows that you're in the wrong but yourself. And mm-hmm. I hope she gets some help. It sounds like she needs some. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Margo, our concern is you being safe and your husband right. and your family. So... keep us posted if anything else happens, and we'll definitely be thinking about you all.
For sure. And like we hope is just like you do that this is the end of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this next one is from Anonymous, my other daughter. Hello. And the subject line is Ouija board with a stranger. Hi, ladies. Insert all the well-deserved praise about you guys here. Let me start by saying that when I was a kid, I was dumb. My sister, our friends, and I would turn off all the lights at sleepovers and play with the makeshift Ouija board we made out of paper and a drinking glass. Dumb, I know, but we were lucky enough that nothing ever came from it. Now I'm older and arguably wiser, depending on who you ask, I don't fuck with stuff like that anymore. At least if I have any choice in the matter. I'm going to tell you about the time I didn't. In my line of work, I respond to emergency 999 calls. Picture the scene. It's a night shift. It's 3 a.m. At this point, I'm so tired, I barely know my arse from my elbow. It's cold, and all I want to do is have a nice, chilled out rest of my shift. Of course, that's never going to happen when you work in one of the biggest cities in the world. We get a call to a female. I cannot recall what for, likely because of the shit that unfolded when we arrived. You go to a lot of wild things when you work for the ambulance service, but I think this tops it all. We arrive at the address and knock on the door, only for it to creak open like we're in a low-budget, scary movie. When you've worked in the job a little while, you get these little instinctual feelings when shit's about to go down. My crewmate and I just looked at each other, telepathically asking, "What the fuck?" Nonetheless, this person needs our help, so we slowly enter the home, announcing ourselves. "Hello, it's the ambulance service. Is anyone home?" Once we had properly stepped into the property, we could hear that creepy organ music. You must know the stuff I'm talking about. The whole house is also in darkness. We're both ready to nope the fuck out of there, but alas, we put our big old bags down, in case we needed to run, and begin to climb the stairs to the room where the only light is on, after the initial whispering argument as to who's going first. All the way up the stairs, there are these upside-down crucifixes, because why wouldn't there be? We reach the room with the light on, open the door, and are faced with a woman stood behind a whole-ass altar. Again, I'm more than ready to nope the fuck out of there. We ask her name and why we had been called. She just replies, "Let's ask my friends," and whips out a literal Ouija board. Instead of saying, "Absolutely fucking not," I ask her politely to put the board away and let's just have a conversation. But no, she begins to play. She's asking the board all these questions. Meanwhile, my crewmate and I are just watching in utter disbelief. Then she says, "They don't want you here. They want me to hurt you. You have to go." At this point, I think a little piss came out and I started questioning my need for adult diapers. We needed no more persuasion. We were out of the home before she could even ask the next question to her spirit pals. Although this poor lady was obviously in the midst of a mental health crisis, our safety is paramount. And at the first suggestion that someone is going to hurt you, you create distance. We obviously couldn't just leave her, so we sat outside in our locked ambulance and requested for the police because they are way braver than I am. Once there, we all did our bit to make sure this lady got the help that she needed. Wherever she is, I hope she's doing well now and hasn't traumatized any ambulance crews since. Luckily, the remainder of the shift was uneventful, and nothing has happened since to suggest any of those little spirit fuckers attached themselves to me. However, I was on edge for a little while after, just waiting for something to happen. Thank you, ladies, for giving us an outlet to share our creepy stories. Appreciate you forever.
This is the most scary thing I can imagine walking into. The organ music, I'm sorry, I would have had to, I would have been in the ambulance right at that. Y'all know I don't fuck around with that kind of music. I just the other night was like, it sounds like ventriloquist 1920s circus music. I hate it. I hate it so much. And if it's like, it's almost like you've been set up. It sounds like some like kind of movie where it's like, let's lure the ambulance people over here. The door opening by itself, the crucifixes, like some kind of ritual is going on that you stumble into.
Yeah, and especially when there's only a single ray of light coming from up the stairs and you have what you, that type of music you hilariously referred to as killing music. But it is, it's like, because it's often like a clown or something, you know, so that's true. It's quite a scene to be, and it would feel like you've been lured there because it does feel like a stage has been, like a setting has been created. Yeah. So I think.
And then the door opens and a woman's by an altar. You're like, surely this isn't happening now. There's a Ouija board.
And she's listening to what they want to tell her. So I'm very glad that I think this is emblematic of like what first responders have to go through. Like you don't get to just see a cracked door and go, nah, I'm leaving. Like, like you said, like someone needs our help. We have to go up there. And so that is hats off to you because that is an amazing job you do. And like you said, your job ends at like, we're helping people, but to deal with something like this, I'm gonna call the police because she's physically fine. I'm here to like make sure someone is physically okay. So I'm gonna go and wait in my ambulance and then we can all sort this out together. Because like you said, if protocol says a threat is a threat is a threat, regardless if it's like the ghost told me to do this or I am going to do this, it's still to hurt you. That's like all I need to hear. So I think y'all did the same right thing.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like shit could have gotten wild. I would be really interested to know what the original call was for.
Yeah.
If a neighbor made it or if the woman made it. It's that's interesting. That's one of the scarier stories we've received as far as the setting of what
the circumstance.
Walk into. I just can't – it sounds like a horror movie come to life. It's almost like – was this a haunted house?
Yeah.
And you got like, pranked? Like, it's,
we got set up.
That's wild.
Yeah. That is, especially when you say, hello, it's the ambulance service. Is anyone home? And someone's not like, I'm up here. I hurt my leg. I fell out of the bathtub. Whatever. And it's just like silence up against killing music. So
yeah. And upside down crucifixes in a dark house and just one light. You just see it coming out from under the door at the top of the stairs.
The elements are all there, and I'm out.
All of it. Yeah.
I'm out.
Oh, my God.
Bless you and Godspeed, Anonymous, for what you did. But yeah. That just, like I said, it just shows you the good heart of them, because you sit there and wait, and then she comes out, and you're still helping. Like, that's, yeah. You didn't just get out and speed away. So, no. So good for you, and thank you for what you do.
Yes, thank you, for sure. I would have had to leave. I would have noped out of there. So
yeah, there's
that's why I'm not cut out for that line of work, you know?
Right. Heather sped away. You you turned the ambulance at the end of the corner. Now no one can use it. And you didn't even get away. Like, I was scared. All right, listen. Well, this next one is from Stephanie. And the subject line is, my demon cat scared off two Jehovah's Witnesses. Hi, Christy and Heather. I'm a longtime listener, and I absolutely admire you both. You handle traumatic and complex topics with tact while also being hilarious when discussing the sillier things. You both are great, and I always look forward to Wednesday and Friday. Now, on to the story. I live in an apartment complex on the outskirts of Baltimore with my Velcro baby boy cat, Bearclaw. I've had Bearclaw since he was a bottle baby, and he is more or less under the impression that I'm his mother. Contrary to the title, he's actually very sweet and affectionate. My apartment seemed to frequently be visited by a couple of different proselytizing groups, mostly Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. I live on the first floor and am therefore particularly susceptible. One day last week, I was bringing in some bags of groceries when I noticed two women approaching me from behind. Normally, I would ignore pretty much anyone who accosted me while I'm trying to bring in groceries, but one of them sort of looked like a woman who worked in the leasing office. I've only been here for a few months and I'm still learning faces. I gave a backwards glance and slight smile, and with that, I was trapped. They walked towards me, pamphlet in hand, ready to tell me the way to end suffering and if I had a moment of time and blah, blah, blah. Ah, crap, I thought. I have to find a way out of this awkward situation. Something to note about Bearclaw is that he is a very chatty little guy. In fact, he has a habit of screaming when I'm on the other side of the door, especially if I'm coming in from work or errands. The moment my key touches the lock, he is activated and runs up to the door, making this loud, chaotic, somewhat gurgly screech to alert me that he's inside. He started this noise as I had managed to barely crack the door, and he knew my return was imminent. The women noticed the loud sound, and I unthinkingly said, "Oh yeah, that's just my cat. He's a bit demonic." I truly wasn't thinking about the context, but then again, one of my habits is speaking, then thinking, which is what happened here. Their looks changed from warm to startled, with one of them backing away slowly. Sensing an awkward silence, I said, "I've got to go. He's pretty hungry," not specifying what he eats. At this time, they both thanked me and walked away hurriedly. I brought my thawing groceries inside and rewarded Bearclaw with his gravy treats and lots of pets. So yeah, that's the time my cat spooked away two Jehovah's Witnesses. I studied religion and psychology in undergrad, and I have a thorough appreciation and understanding for most major world religions. I spent some time studying cults and other bizarre quasi-religious groups, so I can fully understand the BS that is JWs, not to mention the rampant abuse and mistreatment. Let's just say I was super grateful for Bearclaw activating his inner Beelzebub in that moment. Anyways, thank you, and I hope to see you both live one day soon. Come to Baltimore, we have delicious crab cakes. P.S. I've attached a picture of the demon cat in question. With love, Stephanie.
Oh, Bearclaw, you are cutie.
Look at his little paws.
I love when cats, yes, stick with like all their little, just the one leg out back. Uh-huh. Thelma does that like too. You saw it last night. Paints me like one of your French girls. She's just got one little leg like, cocked back.
Just spread out like that. It must feel good to get your belly on the ground real good like that. But I love old Bearclaw saving you from – it's one thing if you want to stand on the side of the road, and if people – they stand at White Rock Lake when I run in the mornings on weekends. Mm-hmm. And if you want to stop, that's fine. But while I've got – because I'm a one-trip grocery bag carrier. Mm-hmm. So I'm looping both arms. And in an apartment complex, you can't roll up on somebody like that.
No.
Bear Claw was doing you a favor.
Yeah, it's too intrusive. It's too close. I had a cat named Cleo who was very vocal as well. And the way you described the screaming, gurgling noise, I can picture it exactly. I listened to that for a good 15 years. So, but you know what? Sometimes it comes in handy. When it's 3 a.m., you're like, what is happening? But when you're trying to get rid of some people trying to shove their religion down your throat, then you're like, that's my demon cat.
Good kitty. Here's a treat. Here's some more gravy treat. That's how I feel about the goose. Will just bark at nothing. And I'm like, shut up. But then when someone comes to the door to be like, do you want to buy some cable? I'm like, get him, goose. Because if she barks, she riles up Buffy, who's much bigger and has much louder bark. And I'm always like, I actually can't open the door. They're so vicious. I'm so sorry. And then I just close the door because I'm not trying to get sold something. Or I just tell Paris, go and speak to them and get them. Tell them to leave.
That's when I just get on the ring and be like, I'm not, go away. No, I don't want this.
No, thank you.
No. Yeah, it's wild that in this day and age, that's still a thing people do. Like going door to door. It's dangerous not only for you, but them too. Yeah, like you don't know who's going to open that door.
What fresh hell could await? You just never know. But yeah, I love this cat. And we'll post this picture on the socials. His little bear claw's got some bear claws.
I love it. And I love his markings too.
Mm-hmm. He looks very like a sweet cute. Kitty.
Good boy.
Sweet. Yeah, right. Good kitty. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this final one is from Tara. And the subject line is, machete-wielding neighbor, it's just his thing. Hi, ladies. Major fan here and new patron. I love listening to your episodes while doing chores or avoiding small talk with other parents at the playground. It really helps when I spontaneously laugh out loud to myself. I've got a wild story to share, so let's get into it. I live in a small town with my husband and 3 kids. Less than 5,000 people total and all the good and bad that comes with a town that size. Last night was Halloween 2024. We love taking the kids around town and seeing the decorations. People go all out, and the old houses can be super creepy and fun. We're nearing the end of our trick-or-treating around 7:45 p.m. Kids are tired and asking for just a few more houses. The end is in sight. We're walking down a hill on a local street. It's cute, but also worth noting it's the street next to the graveyard. As we walk under a streetlight, it suddenly goes off. Weird. I turn on my phone flashlight so we can see. There's just one more house with a bucket of candy in front, so the kids stop for a treat. Then we see a very bright light in our eyes coming from a house that we know is not currently occupied. It's being renovated, and we walk by this street all the time. Again, small town. The light is being flashed in our eyes, and it's like a hunting spotlight. There's a man on the porch that clearly wants us to come over. I think, well, that's weird. But it's really awkward if we don't come over at this point because he's really trying to get our attention. We tell the kids to walk over and do the whole trick-or-treat bit. They are 7 and 11. I also have a 2-year-old, but he's next to me and my husband. The man seems pretty excited when they come over. After they say the obligatory trick-or-treat, he yells, I'm the devil! And says, I don't have any candy. I just want to scare you. You have to work for your candy. I'm like, fuck, this guy has a nutcase and he's going to ruin the end of our night. My 11-year-old, who, sidebar, is neurodiverse and doesn't always get social situations, says, that wasn't scary, and we start to leave. The man says, want to see something really scary? And then runs up the street. I tell the kids, it's time to go home. But my husband, who is extremely kind and thinking this guy is some old grandpa who has a fun bit for Halloween, says, well, hold on, let's see if he has something fun. I'm getting uncomfortable and start to walk away with the baby. Remember that it's really dark and we're next to a graveyard and alone. The man then emerges with a long tube from which he pulls a sword. Some tiny glint of light reflects off the sword and my brain immediately says, holy fuck, that's a real sword. He then runs toward my kids and me in a slow, joking way. I say, haha, that's too scary for us, sir, and move the kids away as quickly as possible. What the actual fuck? We live across from a park, and as we're walking home through the park, a group of older women listening to music and sitting at a picnic table, are they in a coven? I love them, ask me if we're okay and what happened. I tell them, and I mention that I'll likely be calling the police. The women glare in the direction of this weird man and hopefully put a hex on him immediately. We get home safe, and I'm trying to recover the evening. I tell the kids that he likely needs some mental health help and doesn't understand that he was making us uncomfortable. We turn on Hocus Pocus, and I start making cocoa and casually call 911. I explain the situation, and they dispatch an officer. 5 minutes later, I get a call back on my cell phone. It's the deputy sheriff, whose name I recognize as my son's soccer coach. Again, super small town. I repeat the story for him and say, I couldn't see well, but that sword looked real. The officer confirms that it is real. He says that he determined that the guy lives in the house next door to the one being renovated, and they spoke to neighbors. This seems to be, quote, his thing. The officer asked if we felt like it was a prank or if we felt threatened. I said it was borderline, and call me crazy, but he shouldn't be chasing kids down a dark street with a sword. The officer said, yeah, I agree, and he was being pretty difficult, so I'm filing a report. This is my phone number if you need anything else. So, that's my story. Small town, sword-wielding weirdo, and some responsive small town policing. The kids are okay, but I hate that this was the last house on an otherwise great Halloween, and this guy is a supreme asshole. Thanks for listening and considering our story.
Oh my God, what is wrong with people?
A full sword? Think,
and I also, we give a lot of leeway when we're just like, that's their thing. It's like, well, that can't be their thing because that's insane. You can't chase people down the street with a real sword, sir.
Especially like, kids.
Like, well, you know, Sharon, she's kind of, you know, a bitch. That's just kind of her thing. It's like, well, she shouldn't be. How about?
It's like Dave loves to practice his crossbow in the front yard. He can't do it in the backyard. No. There's too much fencing around. He feels contained. He's got to just shoot his crossbow in the front yard. And whatever happens, happens. It's like,
it's his thing. It's his thing, though.
No.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
my thing is
calling the cops because you just ran down the street with a sword towards me and my kids.
Right. My thing is I'm going to beat your ass for coming up on my kids like that. That's crazy, though, that it is a Halloween night that he is in the darkness running with a sword on it. I guess a slow joking way. Still, sir, you could trip. It's dark. And then you've impaled yourself on your own sword.
Also, you didn't give anybody candy. So what was the point? You were just calling them over there to tease them. And I also love, that wasn't scary. That's some
stuff
Ella would say.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Just to flat out call it out. But that is scary because you don't know him. You don't know what he's capable of. It's, you know, and I like to think that those women were in a coven and did put a hex on him as soon as you told them.
Yeah, you got to join them. That sounds, it's a small town. It sounds like you live by the park. Just be like, what's up with this park hang? You want me to, you need another member? You need a fifth? But I'm glad that the deputy/soccer coach, we love a multi-hyphenate, was taking it seriously and was like, you know, how do you feel about this? Like, taking the victim's perspective into consideration. Yeah. But I also love that it was like, he was being pretty difficult. Fuck that guy. I'm following a report.
And it's like, how can you be difficult, sir? You're the one that did this. An actual sword and chased children down the street with it, and you're the one that's being difficult?
He's like, this is really, I was going to go sharpen my sword in the back, and now you've interrupted me. But yeah, it seems silly. I mean, it's one thing if you have, like, we went to a haunted house with my nieces for trick-or-treating. They did not go in, and everything that was, like, truly terrifying was, like, behind a fence. Like, if you want to wait in line and go and see what I would describe as a 7-foot-tall Pennywise that ran at me was horrifying. That was not out where a little kid would be. And so I think it's one thing to say, we all agree that it's a normal thing for kids to walk down the street and get pieces of candy. But I don't think it's, and
which
also
is crazy in and of itself.
We've all decided that's fine and cool. And like, also if you have a house where someone's in a costume and they're up by the garage, you know, or up at the top of the driveway, you know, far enough off the street. But I think where there's kids that are 2 and 3 and like this kid's 2, the little one that was by the parents. But even like 7 and 11, my nieces are 7 and 10, and they would be, this would be scary. Or like,
I would be scared. I'm 45.
Yes. So it's like, I don't know, just because it's Halloween and it's like, I'm a whimsical guy on Halloween. Like, be considerate, man. Just be like you said, just because it's your thing doesn't mean you have to put your thing on all of us. Right. Keep your thing to yourself unless it's a thing that the rest of us want to participate in.
Your husband. Well, let's just give him a minute and see.
For sure.
Oh, man.
I will also say I'm the one that was like, I want to go in that weird backyard haunted house. So I hear it, but the kids were far away. I was the one that was going in.
Oh man. Earlier Simon was like, I want to go trick or treating. I was like, well, bud, here's the weird thing.
Bad news.
Is we only give one night a year where we can go to strangers' houses and they'll hand us candy, which is wild. Like, one, that we can't do that anytime we want, but also that we ever do that. And it's just like, yeah, this is a thing we all do. I mean, it's super fun. We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, until my fucking candy bowl got stolen off of my porch. And guess what? I have footage. And they were teens. They weren't little kids. All the footage of the little kids coming, they're so sweet. And they're like picking just one or two. And then the fucking teenagers show up after, you know, the streets have cleared some. And this, he knew what he was doing. He had his hoodie pulled all the way down. Two carloads of kids waiting on the street just pulled out, which I was like, I don't care if you took the candy, but don't be peeling out of here when you're in a residential area and a ton of kids are walking around. Like, that's just, it's not a sword, but you got two big ass trucks that are just tearing ass down the street all hyped up on sugar and who knows what else.
Right. And you hope that, and I saw only one, luckily, because in other years it's been more, just a kid like run across the street, no lights, dark costume, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, when you got, never the two should meet, but I left my candy out because I also went trick-or-treating, but it was all the leftover candy from our Halloween Q&A that you tried, and it was primarily the Witch's Brew Kit Kat and the Ghost Toast Kit Kat. People did take them. Although I did find a single Witch's Brew, and I go, do you think someone picked it up and went, nah, and threw it back on the porch?
No, it's because kids, man, I saw so many kids running, and you just take a spill, and that candy bucket just goes flying. And then it's like you pick up what you can, but it's dark several houses. I was like, where'd you find that? And I was like, on the ground. I'm like, okay.
I mean it's
wrapped, but it all comes from, you know, the spills of kids running around in the dark and tripping over stuff. And then you can't combine people running at you with swords or speeding down streets. So those two things just don't go together.
Wild times at Halloween. Well, I'm glad that the like I said, deputy soccer coach took it seriously. and you know what? Now you guys are closer because you have something to talk about at the soccer games.
Yeah. Also, don't think that it ruined Halloween. No. Like, it might have been scary at the moment, but like years later, your kids are going to be like, remember that Halloween when that guy came running at us with a sword?
That was wild.
Then like a few days later, mom joined a coven. It was crazy.
She's all powerful. But for real, you not only that is that you wrote this because we're recording this on the first. So you like wrote this like in real time.
Yeah.
So for their sake, you like that's such a preserved memory and you can play them the show someday when they're not 7 and 11. It's too young now, but maybe in 5 or 10 years you can play for them.
I found out there was a 12-year-old at our Dallas live show.
Whoa. So okay. Well, maybe I wouldn't have stared down the barrel and said, Ted Cruz can suck my dick as harshly as I said. I probably still would have said it, but in a more polite way. And I stand by that.
There was a, but she loved it. So thank you so much.
Here's the deal. At 10, I was watching South Park, and we are like not any worse than South Park, in my opinion.
I don't think we're worse than South Park.
No.
No, I think we're better than South Park, and in some regards, we're more respectful. We do curse a lot, but, you know, I don't mind cursing. It's the, like, that if my kids hear that, it's more of, you know, like, I don't know, gory stuff or crime and violent, stuff like that, like scary stuff that like could traumatize them.
Oh yeah,
me the yelling moon show. Fuck isn't gonna traumatize them.
Yeah, the moon show, us talking about how Teen Wolf was a sexual awakening, this should doing folks favors, you know, that's nothing crazy. But Michael J. Fox is for everyone. But thank you for sharing this story with us. And like Christy said, I don't think Halloween was ruined. In fact, a memory preserved forever.
Yeah, I think, that'll be a Halloween for the ages. Well, yes, thank you for sending that in. And thank you to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday.
If
you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. And just by joining for free, you get an archived bonus content sent to you once a month. Or you can join at a tier and get over 900 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, Dear Sinister, Heather's Saves, True Crime Headlines, and so many more.
Yeah, this week we have an Unpopular Opinions coming out. We also have a Heather Saves coming up. And don't forget, if you're a free member, you can also rewatch the Cocaine Werewolf live stream in which I laughed so hard the next day.
Crazy shit show that whole thing.
My jaws were hurting the next day from like laughing. My abs hurt. So it is totally free. That's not like a free trial. Like you can just only, all you have to do is stick in your email address, connect Patreon to Crowdcast, and you can watch it right away, anytime on demand. And just, we explain in it how it works. But it was quite a fun time, especially at the end when we found, the director's nemesis online. Like we found the Moriarty to his Sherlock Holmes. It was pretty wild.
Now,
so
I will say,
join that.
If you got a 11 or 12 year old, heads up.
No.
We did not know that it's very low budget. Mm-hmm. And there is a shower scene and another scene that I wouldn't want. If it came upon me as it did us, and we are grown women, we were like, oh my God, everyone, we're so sorry.
And by no means am I a prude. I'm just like, we all agreed to watch Cocaine Werewolf, and this is an extended shot on, I said it wasn't so much sexy as it was intrusive. So
it was not sexy, which is what I kept yelling.
Yeah. I think we tell you in there that you can fast forward to just in case, because it really was unexpected for us, but check that out. As well as ad-free episodes, we have our monthly live stream Q&A. We've got one coming up in November, but you can watch a whole back catalog, including our Halloween special that we just did. We got quarterly live bonus content coming up, the weekly audio bonuses we talked about, monthly minisodes, and a merch discount, which you can get on the pinned post, as well as a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. Just today, I saw on our Patreon Facebook group, they've got a whole thread going of how everybody can help each other out in different ways. People go in there for advice. It's just, y'all make us cry when we really, like, I was just that. Like, y'all are good. Y'all are just good. Thank you for being
there. Yeah. No, they are. And they so many times help each other out. People that have never maybe even met in real life, mm-hmm. just know each other from being fans of the show and on the internet, send the money if like they're short on rent. Yeah. I mean, like, just like, it's just this really inclusive, kind community that there's a lot of stuff on the internet that isn't. And I like that mm-hmm. our little corner of it, it's a good one.
And there's a lot of stuff on the internet. We do. And there's a lot of stuff on the internet that isn't people. So at least this is people.
Yeah. As far as I know, these are all humans. No one's a robot yet.
Yet. And if you're not sure if you want to join or not, check out free trials. You can join for free for a week at any tier. Check out the perks. Cancel before the trial's over without getting charged, or sign up for an annual membership and get a month free.
Mm-hmm.
Head over to sinisterhead.com, click shop on the top banner, check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddo.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes on YouTube, as well as clips from the show on TikTok. And you can order video shout outs for yourself or the Sinisterhood fan in your life. If you want to get a jump on holiday shopping, get you a mm-hmm. cameo. I just received a cameo from Christy, from Coach mm-hmm. Bennett of the Nike Run Club.
Coach Bennett, not me.
Yes, but you facilitated it. And as a recipient of a cameo, I don't know that other people would get as excited, but I do listen to his podcast. So my brain like malfunctioned when the voice that I know from the podcast was like, "Hey, Heather," I started sobbing and screaming. So
screaming like a scream. I mean, it made me feel good because I was like,
yes,
she loves it. She loves it. And it would make Coach Bennett feel good too, to be like, someone reacted that way to my cameo. So
all that to say,
we can do that for somebody.
I don't know if he's going to scream that well, that high pitch, but like I said, just to receive one, it definitely makes you mm-hmm. feel like it's exciting. It's like the person from your phone is talking to you. Right? It's really cool. So the fact that we get to do that for others, we love it. So if you want to make the Sinisterhood fan in your life scream or cry or whatever it might happen, send the request in at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet, Christy?
Well, before I get into that, I once received a cameo from Heather.
Yes.
And it was from Fiona the Hippo. And I also reacted very similarly and sobbed uncontrollably throughout the entire thing.
Let's
and
not forget,
it was incredible.
Also, the Zach Guilford one you got me was so good. And equally, the whole crowd got so excited at the Houston live show back then.
They're
so
fun.
They're super
it's
fun.
A very thoughtful and like unique thing. And I'm a person that I would much rather get an experience or give an experience, and you can rewatch them and stuff. It's just, it's a cool thing. Whoever came up with the idea to do it.
Well, check it out if you want us or McGruff or Petal or whoever on there. Send it in at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet?
I'm on the internet at Christy M. Wallace on Instagram and Threads, and I'm on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm online at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.